sell it back sooner.
Sure. They got that. Should be on there.
I'm
sure there is. You want me to wait? Huh? Is it showing me?
No. Show my head. And I'll show my face.
I'll get them. I'll have somebody, need somebody come and turn it off when we get done. Good morning.
Morning.
How's everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Those watching on live, you see the flow faucet. Does that sometimes happen? Amen. Let me turn this on. I'm excited to be here. How about you guys? Those watching online, we're good. We're glad to have you here. Y'all seen a little short start there. I wasn't sure if the feed was running, so I had to step down and make sure it was. But again, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going to skip the announcements today. We have quite a few people out and traveling, so we pray for them and their safe travels on the way back. And we'll get back to our announcements on our services on Wednesday, amen? So with that, your title today is this: Christ's sovereignty in our lives. Jesus, King of Truth. Christ's sovereignty in our lives. Jesus is the King of Truth. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, your main scripture today, I'm going to go ahead and read it. It comes from the book of John, chapter 18, verse 33-37. John 18:33-37, NIV version says it this way. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Ronnie, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me today, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us, Lord. As always, may it be your words and not mine, Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you to open up each one of our hearts, Lord, to something in our scripture that we have today, Lord. Lord, that we may have not seen in the past reading it or studying it, Lord. Lord, may you allow us to get a little bit closer to you, Lord. Glean a little bit deeper into your mercy, your grace, Lord, and your love, Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen.
Yes.
Alright, so that's going to be your first one. Or main scripture. Your first one is going to come from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Revelation 4 through 8 says this. It's also the NIV version. "John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our own sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the people on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty." Amen. Guys, look. The book of Revelation can be difficult to understand. Amen. For our minds. Amen. Unless we got Jesus inside of us, fully grasping our hearts and our minds and our souls, we have a hard time reading that book and to truly understanding what's happening in it. Amen. Or what signs it might give us today that the world is soon getting ready to come to the end. Because we got a God that loves us, getting ready to come back. Amen. But the book of Revelation often stirs curiosity and awe, don't it? As it unveils profound truths about God's plan for history and for eternity. Revelation 1, 4 through 8 is a rich introduction to the vision that John received, presenting Christ so sovereign over all of creation, over all of time, and all of history. In this sermon today, we're going to explore three key things from this passage. The first one is the identity of Christ. The second one is the kingdom that He establishes. And the third one is His returning in glory. Amen. So your first one is this, the identity of Christ. Verse 4 and 5 says, "Grace be with you and peace from whom or Him who is and was and who will be to come. And from the seven spirits who are before the throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings on earth." We got Christ, His eternal nature. He is truly eternal, isn't He? The phrase "who is, who was, and who is to come" reveals that eternal nature of God. Amen? Christ exists beyond time, beyond anything we can think. Amen? And guess what? He is unchanging. Unchanging in His essence. And unchanging in His authority. In the midst of this uncertainty that we might have, we find stability in our God Jesus, don't we? The eternal One who never changes. We also see Christ's role through this. He's a faithful witness. Jesus embodies truth and reveals God to us all. His life, His death, and His resurrection testify to God, or to God's love and justice. He is also the firstborn from the dead. His resurrection assures us of the victory over our death and the promise of our eternal life in heaven with Him. And He truly is the ruler of kings, isn't He? Jesus' sovereignty surpasses all earthly powers that we have seen, reminding each one of us that no authority can overthrow His ultimate reign. We have to trust in Christ as being a reliable foundation of truth, don't we? And the ultimate victory over sin and death in each one of our lives. We also see the kingdom of Christ. 5 and 6 says, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and He made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." That is the true love of Christ, isn't it? His love is not abstract. It's not abstract for us, is it? But it's demonstrated by His sacrificial death, freeing each one of us from our sin, the bondage. We have to reflect on the depth of Christ's love and live in gratitude for the grace that He gave us. And we also see His role in the kingdom, don't we? A redeemed people that we are. We're not just forgiven, amen, but we're made into a kingdom of priests. We're citizens under Christ's rule, called to live according to His ways. We are priests. We have direct access to God, don't we? Like the priests in the Old Testament, we have direct access to God. We're called to intercede for others and to share God's truth with them. We have to embrace our identity and our responsibility. Sometimes we say we want to do it, don't we? But then when the road gets ready to go, it's like, oh, well, maybe not so much today. Amen? But we got to embrace that each and every day and have that responsibility in God's kingdom to share His identity. We got to live as ambassadors to the grace of God. And we truly see, will see the return of Christ. Verse 7 says, "Behold, He is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. All the tribes of all the earth will wait on account of Him." Even so, amen. We got a certainty of God's return, don't we? We know it's coming back. We don't know when. Amen? Only God knows. But He is coming back, right? It's not a distant hope for us. Amen? But it is truly a guaranteed reality that He will be returning. He will come to the in glory to judge the world and establish His eternal kingdom. We have to live with an urgency, an expectation of that knowledge in our lives. We got to align our lives with God's purposes, not our purposes. Amen? Not the world's purposes. Definitely not Satan's purposes. And we see a call to repentance and worship in the Scripture. The wailing of the tribes signifies a recognition of Christ's lordship, even by those who rejected Him. For believers, it's a call for us to prepare and invite others to know Him before that day of return. We have to share our gospel, the gospel that He gives us boldly, don't we? We got to point others to Christ before we run out of time, especially since we don't know again when He's coming. We have to be willing to do that each and every day, 24 hours a day, 365. Amen. We got to be willing to share it boldly. Not just meekly, not timidly. You got to be willing to speak up. If somebody mentions something, if you think that God's telling you to talk to somebody, that they need to know Him, we got to do it boldly. Amen. Because what happens when we go, I'll get to it tomorrow. How many of y'all ever do that when Christ says, go talk to somebody? We go, I will. I'll do it tomorrow. All right, guess what? God didn't tell us to do it tomorrow, did He? He said, do it. And what could happen? By the time you get there tomorrow, that person could be gone. Amen? And you've missed that opportunity to save that person's life for eternity. Amen? He truly is the Alpha and the Omega. Verse 8 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come." Christ is truly the beginning and the end. As the Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega, which is the last letter, Christ is the origin and the conclusion of all things. History begins and ends with Him. We got to surrender every aspect of our lives to the Christ that loves us. We got to trust Him that He is in control of our past, of our present, and our future. I know I still have sometimes hard time doing that still, and fully trusting Him to have control of it. Because we still are human, aren't we? We still want a little bit of control ourselves. Amen? But we won't get fully where we need to go until we totally turn it over to Him. Because He truly is the Almighty. His assures us that nothing can thwart His plans. We got to rest in the power and the sufficiency of Christ, knowing that He truly is able to accomplish all that He has promised. Revelation 1, 4 through 8 offers a profound reminder of who Christ is, the eternal King, our loving Redeemer, and the sovereign Lord of all. And we meditate, as we meditate on His identity today, on His kingdom, and on His return, may we be encouraged to live faithfully for Him. We got to worship Him for who He truly is. Amen. The Alpha, the Omega. We got to serve Him as citizens of His kingdom. And we got to anticipate His return with hope and with readiness, because He truly is the King of Truth. Amen. Your second scripture, John 18:33-37. We gather to reflect on that right now. One of the most profound and thought-provoking encounters in the gospel. Our Lord Jesus before Pilate. In this brief but powerful dialogue, We're invited to consider the nature of Christ's kinship, the truth that He embodies, and how we respond to Him as King. We have the question of kinship. Amen. Verses 33 to 34. Pilate is asking Jesus, "Are you the King of Jews?" This question, totally political in nature. Pilate was a Roman governor. His concern with anything or any challenge to Caesar's authority. But Jesus' response itself redirects the conversation from politics to purpose. Because Jesus asked back, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" Amen. This isn't just a question for Pilate, is it? It's a question for each one of us here and online today. Do you know Jesus ourselves? Do we know Him ourselves? Or are we relying on the opinions of our friends, our family, others? Amen. Our understanding of Jesus' kinship must be personal. It must be transformative. Amen. And have that signal relationship with us. It can't be borrowed from your buddy. Can't be borrowed from your spouse, your brother, your sister. Amen. It has to be directly from God. It can't be secondhand. We also see the kingdom, not of this world. Jesus clarifies with that statement in the scripture, "My kingdom is not of this world." Here He reveals to us the very nature of His kingship. Unlike earthly rulers who rely on power, force, and fear, Jesus Himself, His kingdom is spiritual. His kingdom is eternal. His kingdom is founded on love and truth. Amen. Not like earthly kingdoms. This declaration invites each one of us to reflect on where we place our allegiance. Are we striving for the things of this world? Are we striving for power? Are we striving for status? Are we striving for material gain? Or are we living as citizens of kingdoms in Christ's kingdom? His kingdom calls each one of us to humility. It calls each one of us to service. Amen. And it calls each one of us to the pursuit of His righteousness. Amen. Again, not our righteousness, but His. And we also see the witness to the truth. In 1837, Pilate presses further. When he presses further, Jesus declares, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Who? Everybody on the side of truth listens. Amen. Here Jesus reveals the true heart of His mission, and that's to bear witness to the truth. This truth is not just intellectual or factual, is it? But it's also relational. It's redemptive. Jesus Himself is the truth. His life, His death, and His resurrection reveal God's love for each one of us, and God's justice, and His plan for salvation for us. The question Pilate first asked, or failed to ask, "What is truth?" That's the question that Pilate failed to ask. What is truth? Is it one, though, that we cannot ignore? Amen? What is truth? Truth is not a concept, but a person. To know the truth is to know Christ Himself. And to know Christ is to be set free from the world. Amen? And all the things that we've done in the past. As we hear Jesus' words, we must ask ourselves, are we on the side of truth? Am I on the side of truth? Or are you on the side of truth? Those watching at home, are you on the side of truth? To stand with Christ means to listen to His voice and follow Him. Even when it might be difficult, we can't run away. Even if we get hurt, we can't run away. We still have to stay. Amen. It means we have to reject the lies that the world tells us. And we have to live in accordance to His Word and not the world and Satan. Pilate was faced with a choice, wasn't he? To recognize Jesus as King or to yield to the pressures of the crowd. We face those same choices today, don't we? We all acknowledge Jesus as our King. Not just in the world, but in every aspect of our lives. Let me restate that. Will we acknowledge Jesus as our King? Not just in the world, but in every aspect of how we live in our lives. Jesus stands before Pilate as the king of the kingdom, not of this world, bearing witness to the truth that can transform hearts and lives. His question to Pilate echoes across the centuries. Is that your own idea? Let us make our allegiance to Christ personal and unwavering. Let us live as citizens of His kingdom, bearing witness to His truth in a world longing for hope and redemption. Because we will truly see His kingship as rooted in the truth, not worldly power. Just give you some bullet points on what we're doing. We witness a profound exchange between Pilate and Jesus, revealing the nature of Christ's kingship and His mission to bear witness to the truth. Pilate begins again by asking him a politically loaded question. His concern is not theological, but political. Amen? He wants to determine if Jesus poses a threat. Not to the Jews, like they're trying to get him to believe, but to the Roman authority that Pilate is under. Pilate's perspective reflects a worldly lens on him, seeing Jesus as a potential rival to Caesar. Do we, like Pilate today, view Jesus through the worldly perspective, limiting His significance to earthly power struggles? Or do we see Him as the true King that He is today? Do you say this of your own accord? Jesus directly did not answer the direct question, did He? But He probed Pilate's attention. He wanted Pilate to consider whether the question came from genuine curiosity or external influence. Jesus challenged Pilate, didn't He, to move beyond secondhand judgments. This reflects Jesus' true concern for our personal faith and our personal convictions. Our faith must be a personal one, mustn't it? Are we following Jesus because of cultural, worldly expectations? Or do we truly know and understand who He truly is? Are we living for Him and not the world? Pilate's dismissive tone reveals his detachment from the Jewish religious debates. His response represents the cynicism of the world that disagrees deeper with spiritual truths. Pilate is concerned with external power, while Jesus speaks of an internal, transformative kingdom. The world often mocks faith on him, seeing it as irrelevant. Do we allow that cynicism to cloud our understanding of Jesus' deeper thought and truth today? Jesus explicitly stated that His kingdom is spiritual, not political. Verse 36, He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If it were worldly, His followers would have fought to defend Him to the fullest degree. Amen. Jesus' kingdom itself operates on principles of truth, love, and justice, not violence or force. Amen. The citizens of Jesus' kingdom were called to live by His values, advancing His mission through humility and love, not worldly means. Amen. Jesus revealed that His ultimate person purpose is to testify to the truth of God's redemptive plan. Those who belong to the truth listen to His voice. Amen? But we have a key question there. Are we listening to the voice of truth? Are you listening to the voice of truth? Or are we distracted by the noise and chaos in the world that we live in today? To belong to the truth means that we are aligning our lives with Jesus' teaching and priorities. This requires us to actively seek and follow His voice through our scriptures and prayer. Amen. We need to align with the kingdom of truth. We need to evaluate whether our lives reflect the values of Jesus' kingdom or the world's priorities. We also have to proclaim the truth boldly. Like Jesus, we're called to bear witness to the truth, even in the face of opposition. Amen? And we have to respond personally to Jesus. We have to have that personal relationship with Him. Amen? Avoid the mistake that Pilate made, who treated Jesus' identity as theoretical, as a theoretical question. Respond to Him personally. Respond to Jesus personally as our Lord and as our King. Jesus reveals that His kingdom transcends worldly politics and is rooted in truth. Pilate failed to recognize the true King standing right before him. We are left with that same question. Will we recognize Him? And will we submit to Him, to the King of Truth today? Let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we exalt You today as a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the King. Help us to live as Your kingdom and priest, proclaiming Your glory until You return. Come, Lord Jesus, reign forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, You are the King of truth and the Lord of our hearts. Teach us each to follow You faithfully and live as citizens of Your eternal kingdom. May Your truth transform us and shine through us, drawing others to Your love and Your grace. As we leave today, may we echo the words of those who listen to Jesus. Yes, Lord, You are our King, and we will follow Your truth. Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way of today's message, Lord. Lord, I thank You for allowing Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, Your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. Lord, I ask You just to press upon each one of our hearts again, Lord. Lord, put somebody in front of us that we can tell about Your mercy, Your love, and Your grace today, Lord. Lord, if anybody in here needs to get a little bit closer to You, Lord, I ask that You touch them right now, Lord. Lord, let them know what area that they might need that true love, Lord, that true kinship, Lord, that we would truly turn away from the world, Lord, and over to You, Lord, that we might be held on to for way too long, Jesus. And Lord, again, I ask You, put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can truly tell, especially as we're getting close to Christmas time, Lord, about Your true love nugget that You sent us from heaven in Your Son, Jesus, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it?
Amen.
Amen. We got one more song.